of the religious page of the Houston Chronicle to read. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold down the truth in unrighteousness. To hold down the truth, to keep it down. They said, I just can't understand that. Now, that's not the trouble. Now, I guess they can't believe that. No, that's not the trouble. God's wrath ain't dealing with a bunch of ignoramuses. God's holy wrath is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold down. They said, brother, you just stay down there. We're not going to deal with you. Just leave us alone. Leave us alone. Because why is God's wrath revealed against this attitude? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. See, honey, you go to God, God sends you to hell. It'll be because you're a rebel. Unbelief in ignorance. It's absolutely refusal to walk in the light God gives. Right. Man, not being unbeliever, has rolled up his sleeve, sit on his hand, thumb his nose at God. Takes a lot of effort, brother, to be an unbeliever. That's active. Right. That's active. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. When will we ever face the fact that men are wicked rebels acting in their opposition against God with hearts that are hotbeds of hostility to Almighty God? That's the truth. That's the truth. And God has done for every man sufficient as to leave him utterly without excuse. When men come to the judgment, I think the scriptures teach that God Almighty will deal with them. Take a few million years to deal with one individual and still have as much time left, you know. And every man's going to plead guilty and say amen to his own condemnation. Because there isn't an excuse. There isn't an excuse. There isn't but one reason I'm speaking to anybody tonight that's going to hell. That reason is there's a rotten spot in your life somewhere. There's an unyielded spot in your life, ink, and you're going to go to hell protecting that corner of rebellion. You don't have an excuse, not a sit on God there. Why don't men have excuse? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to the wise, they became fools. And they became such fools. This is a description now of the religious Saturday afternoon page of the Houston Chronicle. Here's religion in America. Here's what's taking place pulpits of America, with mighty few exceptions. This is front page news. This is up to date. This is exactly what's going on. Men have become so foolish, religious men, that having known God and they didn't like what they knew, let's get our children quiet if you can. They didn't like what they knew. They weren't comfortable around it. they weren't comfortable. And so they got him a pocket knife. And they began to whittle them a God with whom they could have fellowship. And I want you to look exactly, this isn't a picture of so-called religion in America now. You know what they did? They got a little pocket knife. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man. But even a God who is just like a man, I think I can almost put my finger about 100 years ago in America, we got rid of the God of the Bible. To all of the so-called great growths in Christianity in America, which we had the growth by changing God. But even after a while, a God who has just had the strength of a man, we were a little uncomfortable in his presence. So we got us a pocket knife, and we whittled us out a little God like a bird. And he got too strict for us, so we got us a jackknife, created our God like four-footed beasts. And they were a little too holy for us now. Every cesspool that can be thought of, spawned by religious thinking of this day, till I verily believe, I can't prove it, that America's got the little pocket knife. They whittle them out of God, like with the image of creeping things. I don't know how much deeper in idolatry the sovereign God allow this country to go. Up till now, every country that's had the gospel perverted it, and then just come abandon it, has gone down the drain. The clearest expression of Christianity I've run across in the last 20 years in America comes from the Chinaman, Witness Lee, who was a pupil of Watchman Nee. I wonder how much longer before they'll be sending missionaries to America. We can't go much longer. I want to talk to you a little while on what I think is the closest thing to our vital need this poor preacher's aware of. What kind of God do you know? What kind of God do you know? In the book of John, at chapter 17, the Lord Jesus, talking to the Father, says, as thou hast given him authority over all flesh, God, Jesus, the blood-stained Christ, not over some flesh, but all flesh. Because the Lord Jesus Christ went to a cross and bought men. I believe he bought all men. I believe he bought old Adolf Hitler. I believe he bought Brother Khrushchev. I believe he bought the world. See you. I didn't say he saved them, I said he bought them. I believe he bought the one who denies the very one who bought them. I believe he bought the people who return like a sow to the wallow, or the dog to the vomit. I believe he owns your lock, stock, and barrel, paid for you with his precious blood. My authority for believing it is the rest of the scripture we started to quote. As thou hast given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father has to give him. I think the destiny of men is in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't no more believe that salvation's up to you than a monkey. I believe I'm looking at the congregation of people. Everlasting and one of you ought to have been in hell a long time ago. I believe the only reason you're not in hell is because God is mercy. I include myself. I'm speaking to men and women who haven't got a claim on earth to God. I'm speaking to men and women that God Almighty's Son bought, paid for. He owns you, lock, stock, and barrel. He can do with you as you please. And he's got you on his hands, and he's going to damn you in hell or save you to glory. But he's going to do one or the other. And I would plead with you, quit listening to the preaching that got us in the mess you don't hear from this pulpit. But you hear it everywhere else, Nellie. Just put God in the hands of men instead of men in the hands of God. I know these are sober thoughts. I make no apology for them. I think it took us nearly 100 years to get as far away from the gospel and God as we are now. It may take us at least a week to get back. I don't know. But I am asking you, oh my soul, and let's read the scripture, as thou hast given him authority over all flesh, that he should give. Salvation is not an offer, it's a gift. The Lord Jesus Christ isn't going around here offering people something. He's going around here giving to whom he will. Oh, my soul, if that ain't humbling, I'll choose up and take that. Brother, you get your little brick bat and kill God about that if you can. I wish you'd get so mad at him that you'd curse it! Or saved by God, could it be? That's the only one of you would dare to look for favor on the cesspool of iniquity that I am. Brother, we're in a mess for nearly 100 years. We've been bragging, old man, and preaching a smaller God all the time. Let me read the rest of the scripture. That he should dare. Eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, and this is eternal life. What is it that Jesus gives to some people? What is it? Well, the scripture tells us. What is it? Eternal life is to K-N-O-W, no, the only true God. Son, he has sent. Do you know the true God? I was holding a meeting in Winston-Salem. Yes, then. Thursday night, the first week of chairman of the Board of Deacons, he showed up and honored us with his presence. First time he'd been there. He'd heard that we wouldn't like to preach in one of these pious end for hell church numbers, you know, that wouldn't let him bat first, he wouldn't play. And so he showed up, and after I'd preached, he came down going to help the young preacher and said, young man, he said, the God I worship wouldn't do so and so. I said, I'm sure you're telling the truth, sir. But I was talking about the God of the Bible, not the one you worship. Now, a lot of times there's a whole lot of difference. I want to make 4 comparisons between the gods of this generation of infidel so-called Christianity and the God of the Bible. The God of men and women today, the one they're comfortable with, one they pray to, one they say they're right with, is not a holy God. You can't tell me people that God's holy day, as most of us do. If our God were the thrice holy God, the Bible talks about it. In 99% of the professing Christian homes, the Lord's day is absolute were profane. And I'm telling you that two or three things folks can't get by. This generation's gonna split hell wide open and so fast. It's gonna kick up dust in the devil's face. The way it turned God's holy day into a holiday. Our Father remembered that the Sabbath is the Lord. You better listen to me.
The God of the Bible has eyes so pure that he cannot look on sin nor behold iniquity. Whatever happens to that thrice holy God? Whatever happens to that God is really the Lord, of course, whom Isaiah saw, and he got saved when he saw the Lord. This generation of church people got saved for something, but they've never yet been blinded by the thrice holy, blazing holiness of the living God. The God of the Bible is a holy God. Brother, there isn't anything that you need to face more than what I'm talking about now. It is utterly enough to make the angels weep at the blasphemous, easy, by the familiarity this generation has with a thrice holy God. I used to like to hear those old goatee grandpas pray, take about a half an hour, to properly come into the presence of a holy God. God, help us, ladies and gentlemen. Which kind of God do you know? This utterly holy God. This one, whose holiness and glory, when Saul of Tarsus met him, was above the brightness of the noonday sun. And there was nothing left for Saul to do but fall down, blind as a bat. Which God do you know? And it is the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring many souls to God. And if you don't get to God in Christ, you stop too short. Which God do you know? The God of the Bible is powerful. He's powerful. Not the God of present-day Christianity. Let me read you just one verse. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Is that in the perfect picture of what you call Christianity today? Poor little God. He's in our hands. We can do as we please with him. But not so. Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it was given thee from above. We have not yet found it out that it was in the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. And brother, he's getting the job done. To bring out of men, make manifest the wickedness of their heart as they spew out their venom against them. Men are doing it today, but it hadn't taken God by surprise, for he was set for the rising and falling of many in Israel, and as a sign to be spoken of. This little two-bit Jesus that stands helplessly outside the heart door of this great big generation of so-called people Well, he couldn't even start a fuss between two fleas, but the Jesus of the Bible, who is God manifest in the flesh, will tell Pilate that you couldn't raise the weight of your little finger against that. Unless God Almighty gave you the strength to do it. I'm telling you, you sitting there in the hands of the God, you can't even curse him. He don't give you strength to curse him. There ain't a way on God's earth you can beat God. You can't even blaspheme holy things. Now God enabled you to do it. And it may be that that's exactly, he's working his purposes out, because unbelief's going to be made manifest as well as belief. Jesus isn't a nice little fella. The Jesus who is God manifest in the flesh, in like Debbie Reynolds, the ex-wife of Eddie Fisher, who sent to Billy Graham, and it was published in the papers, God's a living God. No, he's more than that, brother. He's a holy God of all power. And he controls the waters, and he controls the storm, and he controls the devil, and he controls the reins of the hearts of men. And you are sitting here tonight out of hell because the God who holds you in his great big hand hadn't taken it off of you and let you go to hell without tying the pack of suitcase.
The God of the Bible is a powerful God. The God of the Bible is the God of all grace. And what we're trying to do, we can keep begging God's people. I know what you're up against. You see, you go out and do personal work on a cold shoulder. I know what you're up against. I saw a man try to witness, and he did best he could in a place of business yesterday. He said, they don't want nobody talking to him. It's a hard job. And I guess the best we can do is to get people under the public preaching of the word. There is no climate, you see. There's nobody believes the Bible. Going to home, there ain't no trouble getting them make flesh in the face, but I'm talking about getting them to God. That's why it ought to be to God. And we just keep begging. Oh, I hope somehow a miracle of the word. We'd have a lot of covet here. Two people with covenant that we're going to block the road to hell for at least one person. I wish we wouldn't try to win everybody and therefore let everybody go to hell. I tell you, it's a bitter battle. And the reason we're in this is because we're trying our dead level best to get somebody to the place that they actually believe they need to be dealt with in terms of mercy instead of injustice. Nobody must face it. But God is the God of all grace. And God's the God who has sworn that he will by no means clear the guilty. If it is your boy, or your girl, or mine, or your wife, or your husband, or your next door neighbor, God Almighty has signed his name to it. He'll by no means, and no way on God's earth is he talking out of it. He'll by no means clear the guilt. The God of the Bible's on record that I just want to read. Let me read you just one song. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? This psalm was written in the reign of Saul. Saul had no honor. And David was bidden to fly like a bird to the mountains for safety. If the foundations be destroyed, they've about been destroyed, brother. What shall the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven.
His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord tries the righteous, but that listen to this, the wicked and him that loveth violence, the Lord says, my soul hates. I'm preaching on how God hates sinners. The man that is vacuuming, pouring thousands of dollars a month in my ministry, bought me a five-fold tent, and I don't know what else. He never heard before, and he'd been raised on this little milk stop stuff. Denies the holy character of God, and makes the cross of Christ a joke. And he wrote me a letter and said, I just can't take it, you'll have to give me some scripture. So I just said, well, just open your Bible and start reading. Why, the Bible even says that a Christian is to hate the enemies of God. It does, don't it? It's time we need to get a little holy wrath around. That's right. And here it says the people who die do violence, the Lord says, in my soul I hate them. The old time preachers say, sinner, flee from the wrath of God. But we got rid of the wrath of God. We've been going around here telling sinners, God loves you. God loves you. Old John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. Poor old for the Lord, warning that gang in hell church members to flee from the wrath of God. And the Lord is mistaken about it. He said, he that believeth not, the wrath of God abideth on him right now. God so hates his enemies that he says in verse 6, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, and fire, and brimstone, and horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. The God of the Bible set to crush rebellion. The God of the Bible will punish sin. I am sick and tired of all this maudlin, catering, pampering, thou godly spirit had to do it at the price of trying to rob God of his character, make him a namby-pamby. He's not. He's of God who has borne that the soul that sinneth it shall die. Why does God set himself to punish sin? How does he punish sin in this life, plenty, in the next life, in eternal hell? Scripture says, he set, send men to hell for two reasons. First, to preserve the good and restrain the damage that rebellious sinners might do. Ladies and gentlemen, shout with me a little bit. Shout with me a little bit. The Psalms are full of this teaching. God brings judgment on the enemies of his people so he can show mercy to his people. Ladies and gentlemen, God's going to get his cup full some of these days for the way men are thumbing their nose at him. He's going to get sick and tired of seminary professors and college professors and big frock-tailed coat preachers and Sunday school teachers sitting in judgment on God's holy word. I've had them walk up around the pulpit and bring their little mutilated texts from here and there. I had 60-some-odd people hit the pulpit before I could pronounce the benediction. They had their little texts, you know, to the kind of God they had, and they began on me and said, my God wouldn't do this, my God wouldn't do that. And I said, I agree with you. Your God wouldn't do it. I've never had a person like that tackle me now. It didn't just take part of a verse or something like that. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. God of the Bible has made us a promise. Nevertheless, we look according to his promise. The only reason we're looking for it, he said, it's coming. For a new heaven and a new earth, wherein
dwelleth righteousness. Hail roams the streets of Houston. Mockery is the order of the day. Unsaved. I've been on streets in America when a man couldn't walk the street at night, much less a woman. My soul. If God has to send every last one of us to hell, he'll do it. There's one thing. He's going to see to it some of these days. This old earth is going to be filled with righteousness. I read of the holy city, and the scriptures say nothing that defileth shall enter in. Years ago in Texas, West Texas, a cowboy could be riding across the plains and feel the pangs of hunger. He'd shoot a little steer, cut off a quarter, slice him off a meal, hang the quarter up on a mesquite tree. Somebody could come along 30 years later, take the quarter of meat down, slice off the scab, have himself a good meal. Can't now, brother. People have come in. And where people breathe, there is various hostile, hellish defiance of a holy God. Even the bugs and the mosquitoes and the beetle bugs and everything else. You know where they get their breeding place? In the wicked hearts of men and women. Right. There ain't but one thing wrong with Houston, Texas tonight. That is that the air is full of disease and everything else because of the rebellion that is in the very breath and nostrils of men and women. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if God has to keep you in his concentration camp in hell so you can't destroy the new heavens and the new earth, he'll do it. He's set to do it. One day, bless God, he's going to make his promise good. Nevertheless, some hell or high water, we look. Why do you look? According to his promise. That's the only real ground we got for looking. But we got that. God Almighty sent men to hell to restrain them. In his providence, I can't explain it. For over 6 millenniums of time, he has allowed this earth to be a hotbed of rebellion against him. One day, he's going to crush that rebellion. The last reason, the last word. Why does God send people to hell? Not the popular God, but the God of the Bible. He does it to punish sin. Not to correct people, but to punish sin. The scripture is plain. God can annihilate sinners, kill everybody. He can abdicate, climb down off his throne, cease to be holy. Or he can punish sinners in hell. Brother, if men are not in danger of hell fire, God ought to apologize for hanging his son on a cross. If God don't send rebellious sinners to eternal hell, he's the biggest monster that ever lived. He's such a monster that he turned his back on his only begotten
Son on a cruel cross, all for nothing. And if there's a human father that low down tonight, I don't believe it. No, the honor, the character of God's in love, if he does not finally bring sin to hell and deal with it, he's not worthy of the worship of anybody. If I speak to a man now that loves 40 streetwalkers in this town, as he on the same plane you do your wife, you are lower down than a beetle. And if God Almighty's love is so impure that he will forever put up with the impious rebellion of men and women, his love's not worth a dime. He's going to punish sin. No, send anybody to hell to do them good. I was in Mobile, Alabama. Big tent meeting. About 30 minutes of radio time. And God wouldn't let me talk about anything except his judgment against sin. I think that's the issue there. I don't think anybody gives a hoop whether Jesus died on the cross these days. Until there's brave to tremble at the thought of facing God in judgment without a mediator. And the thing got pretty hot. And the big religious people of the town, they got uncomfortable. And they began to telephone and write. The manager of the station demanding that he take me off there. And said, we just want that fellow off. He's obnoxious. And some of the mothers said, our children can't sleep at night and all that sort of stuff. And the manager called me and told me what's going on. And I said, well, I don't want you to lose your station. And we're paying you. If you want to cancel the contract, he said, no. I said, I'm not a Christian, Mr. Barnes. But said, first time I've seen anybody in Mobile, Alabama, give two hoops in hell, whether it's a God or not. That's what he said. He said, you walk the streets now and people are arguing about it. And he said, if it breaks, you stay on the radio as long. He got saved for the meeting's over. Yes, he did. And I got a very pious letter from a nice Sunday morning church member and said, dear young preacher, I admire your zeal. And if you'll let an older man help you, I got a word of advice and counsel. He said, I don't think you'd do a sinner a bit of good for God to send him to hell. And the next day on the radio, I didn't call his name. I read his letter. And I said, my friend, you are exactly right. It wouldn't do a sinner a bit of good for God to send him to hell. That isn't the reason God sends men to hell. He sends men to hell because his honor and his character demand it. Ladies and gentlemen, sin is going to be punished. The God of the Bible sworn to God. You don't believe it, but he will. If you believed it, you'd enter into such an agony and a striving for release in the blessed wounds of my Lord. But God's gonna punish me. Out in West Texas, on a big farm, I had a dog named Shepherd, a black shepherd dog. Work all day in the fields. Come home, the cows would be down, hiding from the flies and the mesquite bushes. They wouldn't come home. They'd eat those mesquite beans, and they wouldn't come home to the milk. They'd come home late from the work, and I'd say, Shep, go get the cows. He'd go get them. He'd bring them in. Oh, that's my dog. I love that dog. Love that dog. One day I went toward him and something he growled at me. I just a kid. And he had some white slobber in his mouth. He scared me. I ran to Daddy, crying. He said something rattled Chip. My daddy came out of the house and looked at Chip. Didn't say a word. Went in the house and got a shotgun. Came out and took a bead. Shot Chip between the eyes. I cried. I said, Daddy, why'd you do that? He said, son,
Then the one thing you can do with a mad dog, that's killing.
Then the one thing God can do with a mad, insane man or woman, boy or girl, who live in God's world, and some is know that God's requirement, and trample down the cross of Christ. Man does that, is mad. He thinks he can push God off his throne. And there's just one thing when the final round of time comes that God can do. He can crush him. He can crush him. That's my message.